Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. We're live on the air right now. Keep listening. You'll hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day and how the Word of God can help you experience freedom and true life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. We are live, 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, but the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, and it is founded on better promises. One of the things that you see when you read the Word of God is this dividing between the old covenant and the new covenant. And the place of change was the cross. The old covenant started at Mount Sinai some 1,500 years before Christ was born. It was a covenant that was made between God and the people of Israel, and it was temporary in nature. It had a beginning, and it was going to have an end. And the end of that old covenant happened at Calvary's Hill when Jesus fulfilled everything in the law, as Matthew wrote in his gospel. Jesus talked about that I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Through his death, he fulfilled it in its entirety.
He did it.
And so we can rest in that. And once that was complete, he ushered in a new covenant. This new covenant is in effect today. It's the covenant that governs the relationship between God and us, all believers in Christ. And it's eternal in nature. This is our relationship, not only here and now, but forever. We will be in this new covenant forever. And it's mediated by Jesus Christ. He's superior in all ways to everything that has to do with the old. The angels that help bring the old into existence, Jesus is far superior. Moses, the one who kind of administered that old covenant for the people, Jesus is far superior. As the writer of Hebrews said, Moses was just a servant in the house. Jesus was the builder. He's superior to Abraham, the father of all of this. And it just goes on and on. So Jesus is superior. And because he's superior, the covenant that he mediated, that he brought into existence, that he made effective through his shed blood, is superior to the old, and it's founded on better promises. One of those promises is this, that our sins have been forgiven, God remembers them no more, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. That's a better promise. In Christ, we have forgiveness. Boy, that is good news. So the question, which covenant do you live in? Do you live in the old? Do you live in the new? If you're a believer, whether you know it or not, you're a new covenant guy.
Right.
You belong in the new, where God remembers your sins no more, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. That's good news right there,
yes,
folks.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. Embrace it. It'll change your life.
1-800-677-9377. We have a couple of open lines. Give us a call.
Let's go to Neptune, New Jersey, and talk with Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hi, good afternoon, Bob. I have a little question for you, and I'm driving, so I don't have a copy of my Bible with me to look up the verse, but I agree with pretty much everything you're saying. I was wondering, there's a passage where Paul is talking, I think, in the context of church discipline, and he says something about if someone's in a sin that they're unrepentant of, to give such a one up to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that the soul might be saved. Just wondering what your take is on that.
Well, good question, Michael. That's a story that happened in Corinth. There was somebody there that had taken sexual immorality to just a whole new level. And he was justifying his activity by grace. And there's lots of people that do that, will just utilize, quote, the grace of God for a justification for their evil behavior. And the attitude that he had toward the grace of God was starting to impact the body of Christ at large. Folks were saying, well, if this guy can get away with it, maybe we can start doing this and that. And so Paul jumped in and he said, for the protection of the body, to bring the body back to health, I want you guys to cast this person aside and let discipline, because we don't even know if this guy's saved. And maybe in this discipline, he can come to repentance and receive new life in Christ Jesus. And so they did that. They followed Paul's lead. They recognized his authority in that, and they submitted to it, and they kicked the guy out. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to him and says, bring that guy back. He suffered enough. He needs to be restored back to the body. And so that's what happened. And so what are the principles that we take from that, Michael? And I think it's this. There are things, primarily attitudes, that can negatively impact the body of Christ. When that happens, I think those in leadership of a particular body should get into action and do something to protect the body. I think that's an important thing. And I think every leader has the unique opportunity to allow God to specifically lead them in that specific instance, that particular situation. I think they should go to that person first and foremost. They should confront him, talk to him about what's going on. Based on his or her reaction to that, will kind of dictate what the next step is. And if there's a total reluctance, then I think something has to be done that makes a statement to the body that to protect the body, to bring the body back to health. Usually when church discipline takes place is because the body at large is unhealthy.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. It's just one of those things, little question marks sometimes over some of these scriptures.
Yes. Yeah, you kind of look at that and you think, well, if we're totally forgiven, why is this happening? Well, it's happening because the body needs to be cared for. And that's why it's happening.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome, Michael. Thanks for your call. Great question. Well, 1-800-677-9377 is the number. Let's go to the Bronx and talk to Benedicta. Hi, Benedicta. You're on the air.
Maybe not.
Well, that's right. Let's go to Long Island and talk to Ramon or Raymond.
Yes, hi. Who am I speaking with? This would be Bob?
This is Bob, and then we've got another Bob, and then we've got a Richard.
Double Bob.
Okay, Bob and Richard. God bless you guys. How are you doing?
Doing great. Nice to hear from you.
Great. Thank you. I'll make this real quick. I've been listening a little bit. This is the first time I listened to you guys, and a lot of questions have been answered just listening. You're speaking with other people, and I have two questions for you, and some of those answers, those questions you've answered a little bit of what you've been talking about. Number one is, can a true Christian that has received the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, be possessed by any demon, any evilness, is my first question. And the second part is, I get a lot of this from the youth, and whether they get it from personal experience with their family members, friends, or whatever, can a person who has received the Lord Jesus Christ and walk away from him after so long, whether it's a pastor, evangelist, or any of them, are they were they really saved, or they were never true, they never received the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, you get somebody after 20 years of serving, and they just walk away, and their son is just standing there looking at him. Where are you going? What's going on? I work with the youth, and this is very confusing to them, and they had that question. So I wanted to share that with you and get your take on that.
Okay, good. Good questions. The first one about demon possession. Richard, can a Christian ever be demon possessed?
No. There's only room for one spirit in us. And if the Holy Spirit is there, no other spirit can possess us. That doesn't mean they don't try to beat on us, but they cannot possess us.
But that's an external.
That's an external thing, not an internal.
Yeah, they can exert influence externally. Mm-hmm. But once a person's saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of that particular person. Paul says we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And so that seal can't be removed. So there's no room for another spirit, as Jesus said. So a Christian cannot be possessed by a demon.
That's I agree 100%.
That's good news, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah. The second thing, I think it's just such a great question. We have this idea that maybe a person can lose salvation, maybe somebody can walk away once they've been saved. I don't think there's any biblical support for that at all. So if somebody does walk away, I think that's indicative of the fact that they never truly belonged to Christ to begin with. That would be my take. And John talks about that in his first letter. They went out from among us because they were never really a part of us. He says that just flat out. And I agree with, I think that's the way we should look at it. If somebody says they've come to Christ, and yet, whether it's the pressures of life, the trials and tribulations of life, that get too tough and they walk away, that could be an indication that they never truly belonged to Christ to begin with. If they engage in some type of sin, we don't know. I mean, we can't judge a person's heart. That's why, when somebody calls, we never assume anything on this particular program. Somebody may say they're a Christian. That may be true, may not be true. But what we have found, if we will communicate the gospel, talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and try to engage with that person along those lines, oftentimes they'll say, well, I didn't know that was the gospel. I didn't know it was about life. I didn't know it was about dying to the old and coming alive to the new. I didn't know any of that stuff. And yeah, I'd like to receive the Lord today. So we've seen that happen time and time again. And yet when they came to us, either on the program or in a conference or just in personal encounter, they said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I truly am a Christian. And then, when met with the gospel, said, no, I'm not a Christian. So we just don't know. We don't know what's in a person's heart. So if somebody walks away, that could be indicative of the fact that they never knew Christ to begin with.
Yeah, that's why that statement isn't a judgment. It's a statement of fact. And so, we don't throw them out. We go to them and say, well, what is it that you didn't understand? Or what was it that was so confusing to you that you felt like you had to walk away? And then you get a chance to share the gospel.
And there's there's so many, I see so much of this. I'll make it really quick because I want to give everybody a chance. I was just ordained about 2 years ago, and I've been going up, working in different areas in the ministry, now very heavily with the youth. And it's so hard for them because of what they see. And I try very much to get into this area where we walk by faith and not by sight. But it's so hard not to see, especially them that are trying to get this. There's so much joy that we receive and we share with them, where on Saturday nights they're in the church learning and not out in clubs and different areas where their minds, where they can just get lost. And then they see it within inside the ministry of their own family members, and like I said before, it's very confusing to them. I appreciate your answers are very straight, biblical, and this is the first time I'm hearing this program, and I will continue to hear the program and also share it with the youth and the church members so that they can learn, because you guys are a, if I may, a university for those who need to know these things and then go to the Bible and confirm them, because we have to do that through the Word and not through what we all think or say.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Raymond. We sure appreciate that, and love the great conversation with you today, and God bless you
Thank
and
you.
The work that he is sending you to do. Let me put you on hold. We'd love to send you a gift and a little more information about our ministry, and again, just grateful you tuned in today, and we look forward to developing a good relationship over time, okay?
Thank you. It was a blessing for me. God bless.
Hey, you. Thank you as well. Yeah. You hold on.
Friends, the offer for Bob Christopher's book, Love Is, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel is just about over, but it's still available to you on that basis for just a couple of more days. If you'd like to have a copy, go online to basicgospel.net, but keep in mind, if you get a copy, it's for a gift of any amount, and we are a listener-supported ministry. We hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity for this wonderful book, Love Is, by Bob Christopher. Simply go online to basicgospel.net or phone 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Remember, Basic Gospel is wholly listener-supported, and Love Is by Bob Christopher can be yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. One program note on Monday's broadcast, Andrew Farley will be joining us. Andrew pastors a church in Lubbock, Texas, Ecclesia. He's written a number of books. We're going to be talking about his latest book, The Hurt and the Healer, that he co-authored with Bart Millard, who is the lead singer of Mercy Me. It's going to be a fascinating broadcast. We're going to be talking about the question, where is God when we hurt?
Yeah.
We all hurt, don't we?
Absolutely.
Every one of us, we experience pain. And when that pain comes upon us, we're wondering, where in the world is God? And we're going to be talking about that on Monday's program. If you know people that are hurting right now or have been hurting here recently, tell them about the broadcast on Monday. Mm-hmm. Andrew Farley will be here. Always enjoy having him
sure.
with us.
So absolutely.
It's going to be a great program. Well, let's go to San Carlos, California, and talk with Ray, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Ray.
Hey, how are you today?
We're doing fantastic. And you?
Okay, not too bad. I'm off today, so.
Well, that's good. How can we help
you?
I
haven't talked to you guys in a super long time. They said there was a different name change. That's, I guess, been a while. I didn't realize they changed the name and stuff. I hadn't heard you in a while, I guess, because I wasn't around at 1:30 California time and stuff, so.
Well, glad you found us again. That's good. So how
you
can
know,
we
help?
Yeah, go ahead,
there,
Brett.
Maybe one, might be one of Richard, I mean, well, you know, too, but I'm just saying, watch a lot of them, you know, broadcasting at different ministries on the television and stuff like that. Nowadays, there's lots of them where you can get up in the 300 channel and different things. There's one guy that's a Seventh-day Adventist, I know, because Richard used to be, he's not now, but he used to be. He's in Michigan, but he cuts down and says dispensation was totally wrong, and then he points his finger like, if you love me, obey the commandments. In other words, I guess 95% of us don't obey the commandments because we don't uphold the Sabbath. But why are they so adamant on that, but yet you can lust after somebody and then you were still okay or something? I mean, they don't say that, but I'm just saying, how come Paul never even mentioned the Sabbath? He said, don't let a man judge you on meat or drink or of the Sabbath days, unless Paul was stupid. But I don't believe Paul was stupid. I believe Paul knew what he was talking about. And wasn't the law given to the Jews? I know it's written on our heart later, but wasn't it given to the Jews? Well, they're not a Jew. Why do they act so arrogant about Sabbath stuff to go to heaven?
Well, they needed something back in the 1800s after they set a couple of dates for Jesus to return, and Jesus obviously didn't return. So instead of saying we were wrong, they said, well, what's really going on is in heaven, and what's going on in heaven is based completely on the law, on the Ten Commandments. So we must keep the Ten Commandments in order to be saved. And they purposefully believe that. They ignore all the verses in the passages, not just verses, long passages in the New Testament that have to do with the New Covenant and why we're no longer under law and all the rest of it. They ignore, for example, in Hebrews 4, that this Sabbath rest has nothing to do with the day of the week, but with resting from our labors as Jesus rested from, or God rested from his, and Jesus rested from him by sitting down at the right hand of God. They're just stuck on a performance orientation, and they believe that they are the true Israel of God, that the Jews gave that up when they crucified Jesus, and so because now they keep the law, they are the true Jews, and they're, you know, like a lot of other denominations, claim they're the only ones who are saved. It's a tragic way to live. There's no hope in it.
How do they keep the law, Richard?
They don't. They don't keep the law any better than the rest of us keep the law. No one keeps the law. The only thing the law can do is point out your need for Jesus, and if you refuse to say that Jesus is the point, then you're in trouble. Can Adventists be saved? Sure, just like a Baptist can be saved or a Methodist can be saved. But for many of them, it's a very difficult thing because it means they have to give up this key point of Sabbath keeping, and they think that they're giving up their lives rather than gaining life. And
the thing is, I don't get is why are they so stuck on that when it wasn't even given to them? And then they say all the church people, the normal Christians say it was changed. It was never changed. Well, really? How come the disciples said they went the first day of the week? Even when Paul collected a collection from the church, he says, I am coming. I know you guys are generous on the first day of the week.
Well, if you want to keep the law, if you want to keep the Ten Commandments, clearly it talks about the seventh day Sabbath. Okay, so that was never changed. But we don't live under the law anymore. Sunday hasn't become the new Sabbath. Sunday was celebrated as the result of the resurrection of Jesus. But you have to stay away from the performance orientation.
Here's the whole deal. They believe that they are the new Israel of God. So they've just moved in. Israel has moved out. They've moved in. And so they're now the covenant people with God under that Mosaic covenant. Well, that's where they're all wrong. Jesus is the true Israel of God. Period. End of story. Jesus fulfilled the old, ushered in the new. And so if you're connected with Jesus, then you're a part of this new covenant. But if you're saying that you're the true Israel of God, you're denying Jesus Christ. Period. End of story. I think that's the issue right there. They are saying that they're going to be the blessing to the world since they're now the Israel of God, and they're going to do it through obedience to those commandments. And they're going to be falling flat on their faces, just like Israel was. God found fault with the people of Israel. That's why there was a new covenant. And guarantee you, he's finding fault with the Seventh-day Adventists as well. And so we have to come to grips with this gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Well, thanks, Ray. Nice to hear from you again.
Period. End of story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, as we close, as we put the period and the end of story on today's broadcast, we ask you to remember that Basic Gospel is wholly listener-supported. And to say thank you for your generous gift, we're going to send you a copy of Bob Christopher's book, Love Is, if you act now. You know, God wants you to know that he loves you, that you can rely on his love, and that when you abide in his love, God's love never fails. It's all there, and Love Is, yours today and for the rest of this week, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To help with gift at this time and complete your gift and request your copy of Love Is, go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, and there are not many of those hours left in this particular week. But again, that's 1-800-727-2828 for Love Is by Bob Christopher, but if you're going to use the phone number, call right now within the next hour or so. Again, social media. If you use it, we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying, and God bless you, and we hope you have a wonderful weekend. And remember, on Monday, Andrew Farley joins us for the edition of Basic Gospel. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.